This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. This look at celebrity trash is brought to you by the I'm Listening special. During National Suicide Prevention Month and beyond, the I'm Listening initiative aims to ensure that mental health conversations are seen as commonplace and met with acceptance. With the power of shared stories and experiences from artists, athletes, health professionals, join the special two-hour event this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Just listen right here on Alice. Help us show how talk has the power to save lives and get more info at RadioAlice.com or radio.com/I'm-listening. So we'll start with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, just quickly, in case somehow you escaped the news. She lost her battle with pancreatic cancer on Friday, 87 years old. During her life, she was a fierce advocate for gender equality, women's rights. There are a million tributes. You probably saw half of those just if you even took a cursory glance at social media over the weekend. But everybody is, you know, a million pictures of her, and it's just, it's really sad. She was nominated for the Supreme Court by President Clinton in 93. In 2018, there was a movie that starred Felicity Jones as RBG on the basis of sex and focused on her big first case out of law school. She has fought off cancer five times. She recently had a bad fall. Didn't she break a bunch of ribs and stuff? Several falls, though.
They keep what she's been going through, in my opinion, fairly quiet. And I think it's all been because of this last year. They really wanted her to make it to, I think she really wanted to make it to pass the election.
Right.
I feel, you know, not to be down on her, because I didn't think it was, of course it's sad anyone's passing, but man, what a story to leave behind. What an example to have set for young women everywhere, to see her face everywhere by every woman I know who posted it. I thought that's an incredible legacy to leave behind. So from that standpoint, I was actually thinking, man, that's quite a life.
Yeah,
quite an impression you've made on people. But that said, I do think it's super weird that because the Supreme Court is so political that people try to stay there till the day they die, literally the day they die. Like, they don't just have a plan and exit and, you know, spend a few minutes because it's political.
Unless you're Justice Kennedy, who leaves right when Trump gets in an office. Thanks, buddy.
Well, I don't know.
Jerk.
I don't know about that, but I do know a lot of them stay much longer than that. They don't.
Well, she's 87 years old. I mean, that's, you know, that's 22 years past when I'm
retirement
shooting for
age, right.
You know.
Right.
She broke three ribs when she was 85.
Oh, yeah. That's
from
what
falling.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
People were calling for her to retire when Barack was president, like saying, look, you are in your 80s.
Right.
We need to seat another
to my point.
Justice. Right. And you're right. It is. It's a total political thing. And it's actually not supposed to be. It's supposed to be, these are the people who make decisions based on what's in the Constitution. But that's not what it is. And even as we watched that, what's that guy's name? Not Gorsuch, but the other guy who just got seated, the loser.
Kavanaugh.
Thank you. He was basically right, yelling about Democrats. And I was like, okay, that disqualifies you. But turns out it didn't. And the crazy difference is that when Obama, during his last year in office, when Scalia died, they pissed and moaned and would not let him seat another judge, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, "We refuse to vote on any picks to replace him. This is your last year of your president." They called him a lame duck, which technically he absolutely was not. You're a lame duck between the time someone else has been elected and you're out of office. He had a year left. And by the way, Lindsey Graham, Republican senator, he was on the same page as McConnell back in 2016. And he even said Republicans were setting a precedent by not allowing a president to have a Supreme Court pick in the final year of one of his terms. He said if he ever went back on that promise, we could use his words against him. Unfortunately, words are super unpainful, apparently. So he, because guess where he stands now?
Right.
Okay, hey, let's do something fun. Rest in peace, RBG.
Was I supposed to decide on that? Is that the
decide? No, okay. This is your deciding thing.
All right.
Jeopardy may have cheated a contestant out of a correct answer. Now, this person was not going to win the game anyway. This is just, it's that they disqualified this answer, and now the internet is really pissed about it, Vinny.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you. It's important. This stuff's important. You know, when you have your shot at a game, it's your TV moment, and you get something right, and someone burns you.
Right.
That's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So you tell me, right or wrong. All right. So there are plenty of instances in the show's history where a contestant spelled their answer wrong, but it still counted because the pronunciation was the same. Like, for instance, a contestant once spelled Yul Brynner's name with an E. It's just Y-U-L, and they spelled it Y-U-L-E. And they said, okay, that's all right. And then contestants spelled, like, Wile E. Coyote's name as Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, as opposed to Wile E. Coyote. So the game rules state misspelling is okay as long as the answer is phonetically correct.
Okay.
So during a Final Jeopardy last week, the contestants had to identify the Motown producer, Berry Gordy. One of the contestants, her name's Betsy, she wrote Barry Gordy with an A instead of an E, and she got it wrong. She didn't have a chance of winning, but fans are upset because they're saying misspelling's okay as long as they're phonetically the same. Are Barry and Barry the same? Should she have gotten that right? You decide.
Yes.
Yeah, well, she didn't.
What do you think?
I think that according to their rules, I would have given her that.
And
I
just said it. They let people who misspell things. That sounds exactly the same.
Well,
exactly.
More or less, right?
Yeah.
It's close enough. She knew Barry Gordy. And I guess if you'd never seen it written down or if you, I don't know. I just feel like she wasn't going to win anyway. So this isn't like a game disruptor. But in this case, Jeopardy says there are two different names and thus the contestant added incorrect information to her answer. If she had just written Gordy, I wonder if she would have won. But either way, so you've decided that they screwed up. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think that she got it. If you say those names, unless you're listening so intently that you can maybe decipher between the vowels there, I just don't think that, I really don't think anyone notices that stuff.
Right.
Barry Gordy, you go, all right, well, I mean, if you put that up to me, having never heard that word, I would have spelt that the way
Barry.
She did.
Right. No, I'm with you. If you hear that name is given to you, you make the assumption that that's Barry.
Right.
As opposed to Barry. Maria from Napa has written in about Big Brother, so we'll do a couple minutes on Big Brother here. There were a couple funny things that happened on last night's show. It was a good show. First of all, look, Big Brother, they really pick their moments to screw people. The have-nots for the week sleep in the worst room, only can take cold showers, and can only eat this stuff called slop. And they make whatever they make with it. It sounds like you can make it into a shake. It's basically like a porridge. It's like a gross oatmeal. I if it's just oatmeal, I would be fine with it. I actually like oatmeal, although I don't want to eat it for a week straight.
Didn't they used to make it way worse? Wasn't it like a combination of three disgusting things that they had to had the option of? Like, you can eat anchovies or you can eat, and it was like all gross stuff, right?
There was slop was always the base, right? So you could have squid, anchovies, and slop. Those were your choice. Like anything you could make with those things But the basic component is this slop. So I don't know if they have other choices. Maybe they have, you know, some kind of vitamin drink or something that they can have. Who knows? And they don't make that much of it on the show. It's not like we are hearing about this on a day-to-day basis, but it is one of the things that some of them are suffering from, that they have to do this. So I actually think it was downright mean what they did. So there's what's the kid's name? Cody.
Cody.
He makes tacos. Listen, we all love tacos, right? What's better than effing tacos? I'm even as I'm watching them start to eat them, I'm like, oh yeah, tacos. And they've got crunchy shells. They've got soft tacos. They have it all. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Like, he spent all this time making all these tacos. My mouth's watering right now thinking about tacos. So he made all the stuff and he sets it out on the counter. And he's sitting there waiting for everyone to get there. Because you know how tacos are, too. It can be a bit of a log jam as people are trying to get their stuff together and arranging their guacamole just so.
Everybody builds a different taco.
Right.
Exactly.
So there's a line as they're building their tacos. And some of them are past the line and have begun shoving that thing in their mouth. And others don't even have a plate. And then Big Brother says, everybody into the living room. And they make the slop exchange. So the
dude, I would have started. Okay, but here's the thing: that guy is, as they say, an all-star, and he knows what's coming. So for me, I grab a spoon and I start shoveling that crap in my head. The minute I hear the announcer's voice, everybody else was. That's almost downright cocky of him to walk into the room assuming he's still going to get to go back and eat his tacos.
Right.
Was that a screw job?
How would anyone do this to me? I just made you these tacos.
For sure. But that shows like, oh, well, I got this game dimed. I'm good, everybody.
You know, he actually does. Like, Cody is, I mean, he walks around like he's an absolute untouchable. Nobody wants to cross him. Nobody wants to do anything about him.
Well,
like,
he got
crossed. Actually think he might win the game.
He could, because he's definitely more likable than Memphis. The guy who won HOH last night.
That guy is such an utter condescending bully. Yeah, I really think he needs a slap hard.
Well,
of course, you know, David did the right thing. He nodded and agreed, because that is what you got to do with those people.
Well, what I think David should do either way is go back on it if he doesn't.
Ooh.
If it doesn't work for him, he should definitely go back on that handshake and be like, dude, you think I'm an idiot? Yeah, I shook your hand because I wanted to not be on the
Memphis does think he's an idiot. That is, in fact, the quote.
Right. But I absolutely expect David to go back on that deal.
Well, he absolutely shouldn't. And because Memphis is going to, we all know that. He said it right into the camera. My deal this week is I'm going to backdoor David, who I think should be out of here. It is funny how when people are in power in that game, like, we haven't heard a peep out of Memphis in 2 weeks. Like, you know, other than the scandalous stuff that happened online where he said idiot and everyone thought he said some other thing. Mm-hmm. There's been nothing, no gameplay, no nothing. He's just floating around the house being quiet. But as soon as you put that head of household crown on, like, even Danny, she's like, this is my third time. I can't believe this is kind of his first time. I can't believe he's telling me.
I'll tell you something.
Don't be like that.
You may not think, I don't like Memphis either. I'm with you, but I don't like Danny or Nicole either.
No.
Like, the game they're playing,
horrible.
I think it's super ugly, and I honestly realize now this also goes for Survivor. I just wouldn't want to play that game, and maybe it's because I got a guilty conscience and I can't sleep when I've acted like a complete douchebag.
Right.
Liar, douchebag, you know, BH. Yep. I can't. Watching them set that dude up and just basically frame him, to me, and it's not about him. Anybody they frame, I'd be like, you got to do that?
Right.
Like, Nicole's, you know, don't.
Right. Big crocodile tears from her and absolute smugness from Danny.
What you're
like,
doing.
Like, I'm in control of this.
Is despicable. So
I agree.
At least know that you and don't act like, oh, I feel bad about it. Nah.
Don't. Right. If you're going to do it, you just own it, because what a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, those two, they're so conniving. You enjoying this, Bryn? You like this combo?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you might be.
I'm just holding back all my thoughts because I have so much to say.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for letting us get a word in. We appreciate it.
Welcome.
By the way, Davon, when she sees what actually happened and how Danny has just utterly been playing her, mm-hmm. just, you know, I mean, she actually said it. She's like, oh, Danny's happy when I'm doing what Danny wants. Yes, Davon. Continue that thought process. Now she's like all upset at David. Meanwhile, David, who is an idiot, I'm sorry. I hate to agree with Memphis on anything, but this guy, come on, man. He's talking game with no one. And now, you know, he's upset and she's upset. And it's the thing that Nicole
did.
You
know one thing that has occurred to me a couple times, though, and look, it's fine. It's Big Brother. It's a ridiculous game. But here is coming into the game a bunch of people who understand I think they understand the severity of the problem we're dealing with race relations, right? And it
yes.
seems like some of them are taking it very seriously
yes.
and even having conversations very, very specifically for that reason. And yet it seems like some of the other behavior that's going on is setting race relations back. Like so far, you just go,
ugh.
Oh my God, it looks like they're targeting people and it appears to be black people.
Well,
this is not a good look if you're coming into this hoping that somehow race relations are going to be solved. Like that was stepped in that whole, I'm just trying to help. You know what's going on out there. And then you just realize like, dude, what are you, the Great White Hope? You're clearly not going to solve race relations. That's not happening.
We're not looking to Big Brother for that.
Right.
But it would be nice to see people treated well. Although I will say that David is, he's playing an absolutely terrible game. And
no,
he's
I understand.
He's an easy guy to get out. So I'm not surprised that he's being targeted.
There's like a context for the game and there's a context
yes.
for these other conversations.
Absolutely.
And that's where this mess has happened, especially for Tyler's game.
Oh my God. That's another one who just, he sat with his mouth closed the whole episode. Like you didn't hear a peep out of him. How effing funny was it? Christmas's reaction to Davon putting her on slop. I can't stand Christmas. I think she's a real little, she's another one who needs a slap.
Go ahead. Who do you like?
Not a lot of them. Not a whole lot of them. My least favorite seasons. Like,
yeah.
I just, you know what I mean? Like, I actually feel like I get it. They had slim pickings for this all-star cast. Like, none of these people is an all-star. Even the people who won are just like, Nicole is so, just want to. I am enjoying the show. I do love the show. But do I like any of these people? No, not really. And even the people that I do like, I think Kevin's very sweet. But he doesn't deserve to win. He's not doing anything. Like, these people needed to put some S together. Anyway, Christmas gets put on slop by Davon, and she can't be graceful about it. Like, as she's there with her taco shoved half in her mouth and has to stop eating it. And I just thought, how can she possibly blame Davon for putting her on slop when Davon put her and her best friend in the house on the block and then got her best friend in the house out last week? What does she think that's just something different? I don't understand.
No, she just knows she lost food. She's just having she's being a baby. That's what it comes down to.
Ugh.
She just lost food for a week and just realized it sucks to be me.
Yeah. Oh, a decision I made in the house is coming
biting
back to bite
me in the rear end. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
She was so
right.
Just, what a bitch about it. Anyway, no sign of the neighbor situation yet, too. Maria and Napa pointed out that we were promised some kind of Big Brother neighbor that we all think is going to be Jesse, the weightlifter, but we don't know who it's going to be. There's going to be some kind of condo set up in the backyard where some Big Brother person is going to be moving in. I don't remember either, Maria, if they said what day it would be happening, but it certainly didn't happen last night. And I'll leave you with this, Vinny. Is Tom Hardy the next James Bond?
Is Tom Hardy from the UK? Or is he an American dude?
I think he's I think he's American. I really don't know, to tell you the truth. That's the first time. Let me look. Hang on here. Tom Hardy is an English actor and producer. He's
okay.
English.
Then my answer is yes.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Tom Hardy is, like, I'll see a picture of him. He's like Eric Clapton to me. He always looks different in every picture.
That's interesting that you say that about Clapton.
Yeah, I'm like, is
it? I agree.
Oh, do you really?
That's yes.
I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is. And then I'm like, oh, it's Tom Hardy? Yeah, I've seen him in like 5 movies. Yeah, I can't pick him out of a lineup. But apparently, maybe this will be the thing that cements him in my mind, because he is the rumored next James Bond.
All right.
He was trending on Google this weekend. There's a report saying that he's the next Jim. Nothing official yet. Daniel Craig's final appearance as Bond will be in the upcoming movie No Time to Die, which has been delayed and delayed and delayed now because of COVID. It's supposed to come out in November, but it's possible to get pushed back again. They're saying that the announcement of Tom's casting will be made in November or early next year if it gets pushed back. But again, this is just some source that is not necessarily official, although everyone talks in Hollywood, so where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire. So there you go. You would be okay with him as the new...
Well, in theory, yes. I feel like I have to see it before I can judge whether or not he's, you know, good enough. But in theory, yes, I think he'd be good. I know that, you know, who's Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman wants that job bad. And I don't know if he'd be good at it either. I don't want to underestimate him. He is a great actor, and he's tough too. So, and he's a big dude. So I think he could pull it. But
I actually think I've never heard that thought. I think that's a good. I actually like that. I wonder if they considered him. Well, they should give it to him over Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy. I'm like, who now? Wait, let me look this guy up. Oh, look, he's been in every movie I've ever seen. Great. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
I will update you on, well, among other things, I have a lot of news to tell you, but I also will update you on our stolen car.
Oh my God, there's an update.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.